Okay, today is March 21st at 9 o'clock. The NLA discussion group is being convened. The calls on this conference call do not necessarily represent the opinions of the National Liberty Alliance. The views are those of the individual callers who are participating. So I guess, does anybody have anything to report as far as courtroom observation? Okay. Well, I'm being sued, and I thought I'd mention a few words about that. It seems there's a credit card company that sent me a credit card several years ago, and it was basically a big scam. It was a no-fee credit card, and I signed up for it, and I pretty much forgot about it until they tried to do a couple of add-ons on the credit card. And when I saw that, I objected to it. I sent a letter to the credit card company, and I asked them, you know, what's the deal with these charges? And they never responded to me. So, lo and behold, I pretty much forgot about it. And then several years later, I get a notice from this company that specializes in buying defaulted debt from banks. And they sued me in the local county court here. And it was interesting because the notice that they sent to me said that the matter was uncontested. And, of course, I contest everything. So I don't know where they got that idea. Nonetheless, I filed a counter-complaint. You have a choice between filing a response, which costs nothing, or you can file a counter-complaint, which is what I did. And I accused them of fraud. And I am waiting for their response now or a court date. I would love to get them in court because everything that they do violates the generally accepted accounting procedures as well as a lot of other laws. So I'm waiting to hear back from them. If I do hear back from them, then what I'm going to do is I'm going to subpoena the president of the bank and the collection agency and cross-examine them about this debt. My first question to them would be, did the bank lend any of their own money? And the only answer that they can give is no, because if they say yes, that's a violation of the Federal Reserve policy. So it could get very interesting from there. And if anything else develops on this, I'll let you know. Otherwise, if anybody else has a similar problem or even a different problem, go ahead.
I'd like to make a comment.
Sure.
This is California Fred. Now, I realized that right off the bat, you said this happened many, many moons ago.
Yeah.
Yeah. This might seem like crazy or Wizard of Oz talk, but is there any possibility at all that you used any of the information from this loan in an IRS filing of any kind? Like in
I don't understand the question. What does it have to do with the IRS?
Ah, well, if you did something like deducted interest or wrote off a debt or anything like that at the IRS, then it becomes a trigger in a whole new thing.
Well, no, nothing like that.
I just wanted to throw that out there so you're aware of what I'm trying to say.
I don't know what taxes are.
Because these people love to harvest you. I yield.
Of course. Of course. But no, I don't do business with them. Well, we've got a lot of people on the screen here. Somebody must have something to say.
I am Valdi from Florida. Do you hear me?
Yeah, we hear you.
Yeah, I just copied maybe a couple of minutes, maybe a month ago. Are you familiar with the civil lawsuit against the Mueller filed by the Manafort?
And, the civil lawsuit against Monaco, you said?
No, Manafort. Manafort.
Okay, yeah, sure.
Yeah, Manafort. One time, President Trump associate against the Robert Mueller. He filed January 3rd, 2018, complaint for declaration and injunctive relief in U.S. District Court for District of Columbia under USC 5 USC 701 and 28 USC 2201. And he claimed a couple interesting things. For example, one thing he claimed, he objected was that independent counsel expired in 1999 and Congress refused to reenact. Another thing, Rod Rothstein, who was the deputy general attorney because general attorney recused himself, make the order, and he brought up the counsel. And Mr. Manafort make the objection to it because the language of the order is vague. For example, and I wrote it down, so I can read you just a couple of lines. That's what the order says. Links and or coordination between the Russian government and individuals associated with the campaign of President Trump. So the argument here I would make, the President Trump or the candidate Trump, Russian government or the people from Russia, an additional authority which Rothstein gave like this one. Any matters then arose or may arise directly from that investigation. So if I was President Trump, why don't his lawyers just go back to Rothstein and amend the order just to give the smaller scope of the authority for Robert Mueller, and I yield.
I have no idea. My head's still spinning every day looking at this stuff.
Yeah, because everybody, as you spoke about your case, and we all have our own cases here and then, you have to look exactly what the language says, and language says between President Trump and the government of Russia, nothing else. So if I was the counsel for the Trump, I would definitely give the counsel Mueller 1 month or 1 week to, come up with something which involved those two parties. Everything else is baloney. And I read this whole complaint. It's like, I think it's 17 pages. And Mr. Manafort was charged, indicted for things what he did 10 years ago, which is, has nothing to do with the election, with the past election. And no one and nowhere else, and especially talking about the attorneys for the Trump, don't bring this up. Don't bring this up. Okay, I yield again.
Yeah, well, that's what all special prosecutors end up doing since they can't get the charges, the original charges. They file some other kind of, ancillary charges or whatever they can find on anybody who's associated with the subject of the investigation.
No, I understand. I don't. I mean, I just brought it up so people probably make that to the, another research on themselves. But you know, the scope of authority is very limited. And you know, if he go outside of the scope of authority, he is, you know, he defines. I mean, he goes around. I mean, outside of the that order which Deputy General Attorney Rothstein wrote. And, you know, nobody talks about that. That basically is, you know. I don't want anybody, you know, answer me because I know what's going on. But I just brought this to attention because you said, you know, there are so many people online, but nobody wants to speak. So I yield, and that's over with this subject, with this issue.
Okay. Anybody else? Don't be shy now.
This is California Fred.
Sure.
To top off what he was saying about Manafort, I'm not sure how important this is, but Dr. Carosi, speaking about QAnon, said that the new counsel that Trump has hired, his wife, the counsel's wife, is the same attorney that is defending the whistleblower who is trying to reveal the fact that Uranium One was an inside deal and Mueller went secretly to Russia with a uranium sample to hand it off to the Russians. So that's going to trigger an investigation, and Mueller will not be able to be a special counsel at that point. It will kick him out, and he'll be under indictment and probably thrown in the clink, I hope. Sooner the better. I yield.
Well, that's very interesting because actually the lawyer that you're talking about, I believe his name is Joseph DeGenova, and he goes back to the Watergate days. And so that's very interesting that you're saying his wife is investigating the uranium deal in, Arizona?
No. His wife is defending the whistleblower.
Oh, that's right.
The FBI informant, the whistleblower, that they Department of Justice gave him a shut-up order. Don't say anything. You will throw your ass in the... throw you in jail. Now, pardon my French.
Right.
That guy.
Yeah, we all speak French here.
Yeah. Well, anyway, that's. I just wanted to throw that out there because I think Mueller is going to be shaking on the Gray Bar Motel walls, baby. And it better be a padded room.
Yeah, he doesn't want to open up that can of worms, I would assume. I yield.
Want us up in the upstairs bedroom where it was?
Okay.
Okay.
Open.
Pennsylvania Jan, you're coming through. I'm sorry, Pennsylvania Jan is, no, that's the wrong one. Yeah, somebody's got to mute their mic.
This is California Fred again. This is a courtroom observer, so what I was wondering, is there any further progress on the court cases that National Liberty Alliance has filed? I yield.
Not as far as I know. I would wait until the Monday night call for that discussion.
Okay, Valdi from Florida again. I have something to bring up. See, our Constitution starts with a Declaration of Independence, and Declaration of Independence. I like to speak about the word Declaration, and according to my knowledge, the Declaration that was done by the people who didn't ask the King George for the permission. Then if you go to the... That is important to me. Then in the Amendment 25, there is Section 4. It said that transmit to President pro tempore of the Senate and Speaker of the House of Representatives the written declaration that the president is unable to discharge the powers. The point I try to make is, it's again, the word declaration, it's without the president of the United States to say anything to it. So in other words, like in the first case, people didn't ask the King George for the permission to declare whatever people want. And in this situation, in the Amendment 25, the same thing. Whoever is wrote this declaration, he didn't ask the president to agree to not. And the third one, what I'm going to brought up, is kind of very personal, what I experienced when I was riding the truck once, and I was in the California, so I'm happy that the Fred from California is listening. I was cited by driving, and I was driving 18-wheeler, so I was in the commerce, and I was cited for the speed, exceeding the speed limit. So I was very unhappy with it, but when I get home, I look at the ticket, and they say that I can plea by the mail. So I made the contact, and there was Supreme Court of California, County of Kern. And then say, yes, you can, but you have to pay the bail of $1,415, which was very steep. That was 10 years ago. And they say, we will send you some form so you can fill it up, and that's it. So they send me the form, and the form says, request for trial by written declaration. And this is the third time when I encounter this word declaration. So I fill up everything what was asked for, plus I put some extra page, and I went on the internet, and I... wrote exactly what the cop wrote on my ticket, and I come up with two beautiful cases from the California, and I attached to my written declaration, and of course I paid the bail in the amount $415 and was waiting what's going to happen. And guess what? The judge ruled for me based on my written declaration, and I got my money back, and I think they pay me even interest. So the point I'm stressing here is you declare anything you want, and if somebody going to listen to you or not, you don't have to ask them for their permission. And for example, my idea is if I travel, I can write the declaration to any cop, any police department, any sheriff department, and that is my, and I stood standby to, and I attach 18 U.S.C. 31, which define what is the driver license and what is not. I may also attach a couple court cases which says that I have a right to travel. And then, this is my defense. I yield.
Did you win your case?
The money, the guy, I told you, the judge side with me, and my bail money, $415 plus interest, was returned to me.
Okay, but why did he do that? I mean, I'm not understanding the reason why he gave you, why you won.
Well, I don't think you get it. Because I declare, which is what was my rights, and I declare what happened around, and I attached two cases from California, and one of the cases says that speed limit has no bearing on anything. It depends how you drive. You must drive safely. In other words, you must observe things, what is around you, like weather,
right,
rain, and you drive accordingly. That thing was decided a long time ago. Besides, you know what, and that's why I win. It's not important why I win. What was important is that I declare what is important to me. And I declare, like the, we the people declare, without the approval of the King George III, like, you know, the president could be removed from the office without his approval, because some other people observing declaration. That's what I'm stressing. If you don't understand why I win, is not important. What is important, the state of California, with most people calling the People's Republic of California, but they send me the form to declare things on my behalf. And they took it, what I declare, and they sided with me. Because Fred from California always asks, John, what we can do? Fred, I mean, I like you, you know, what you're saying, because at least you participate. But, you know, that's what I do. And I do many other things, which I am not saying. I have my own plan, which I follow. And it's very simple. That's the logic. First thing is the declaration. Second thing is the estoppel. And third thing is affidavit. Estoppel presumably takes away a good faith approach, good faith defense.
What exactly did you declare, that there is no valid speed limit?
No, I declare circumstances what I did. I declare things on my behalf, in my defense, which persuade the judge what I did. He took my word, what I declare, and side with me, not with a cop. It's not important what I declare again. The important is, the declaration is something important for the other side. This is kind of like, you have this right to declare whatever you want. Like John say, the Fortune says, the sovereign declares the law. I declare them, and he trusts me, because, you know, I based something what he saw as the substance.
You know,
the estoppel is used in the court. Estoppel means stop doing what you're doing. And most cops, when they go to the court, they presume they acting in the good faith. In other words, they are moron, but because they did it for the good of rest of us, even they break the law, judge see him as he doing then is a good faith. If you write to him estoppel, tell him, don't do it anymore, because now you know the law. I am not driving. I am traveling. if you're doing this in the front of the judge, you cannot take defense because I told you, stop doing that because I giving you the law. And I have this in my arsenal of defense. You can do it to any corporate police department, or you can do it against any sheriff office. You can do anybody, any councilman, about anybody. You can declare what you stand up on. You can declare where you're coming from. And you usually give them the source of that declaration, like the Constitution or opinion of the court or whatever. I yield now. I think I said enough on the issue.
This is California Fred. You used my name, so I'm very happy that you beat your case. But the estoppel is one form. You should look up abatements. Do you know how to do an abatement?
Well, look, Fred, I'm doing what I'm doing. You can do whatever you do. It works for you. It's fine. Estoppel means, is I think French word, or I'm not sure, means stop doing what you're doing, because what you're doing, I show you, you're doing wrong.
I understand. I am understanding what you're saying. Well, all I'm asking you to do is to expand your horizons a little bit and look up abatement and see how that applies to a court. You're going to find that it has far-reaching power.
I know what the abatement is. I know what abatement is.
Oh, okay. And then you can also look up the ultra vires doctrine and find out how you can take that corporation and dissolve it. Anyway,
well, the first thing what I do, I ask corporation when I sign a contract with them. For example, if the municipal corporation brings me for whatever reason, I ask him, well, do you have the contract, bilateral contract with me? Because you know what they do? They say with anybody take the mortgage, and the mortgage says somewhere that is you have to listen to the local corporation, municipal corporation, but there's no corporation signatory on the paper. So it's a unilateral contract, but unilateral contract is the oxymoron. You know, it cannot be contract with one person participate and other not. So the first thing I always ask, what is, do I have a contract? And the contract, I don't want to mention, but there is some court opinion. If somebody claims there is the contract, corporation claims there is the contract, has to be on the in the courts, on the public laws. And, you know, then if there is no contract, an equity jurisdiction is gone because they don't have anything on you. What left on the land then is the law, jurisdiction at law. And then you ask, what law? Is the statute a law? Is the ordinance the law? Et cetera, et cetera.
I would like to make a point. The United States Coast Guard declared Mount Hamilton, the highest point in the United States, to be 100 feet underwater. That was to give jurisdiction to admiralty courts. Also, when the capsule was in space and he looked at the Earth from close to the moon, he said, the Earth is in a sea of space, giving further credence to the whole planet being under admiralty. Those are the two places I know of where they tried to establish this admiralty jurisdiction across the whole United States and across the world. I yield.
Yeah, okay, Fred. I mean, they can do whatever they want. You can do, you can defend yourself against it. And you said the Coast Guard, right? You brought up once this guy, the Miller, who is the syntax guy. He's the lawyer who bring this defense using the proper language. They call the syntax. Are you familiar with that, Fred?
Yes, sir. I'm familiar with the
guy. I don't have my notes in front of me, so I'm not going to touch his name and what is that. But he brought the issue about, I believe, the Coast Guard, but I'm not 100% sure. He said the Coast Guard originate when the ship came to the port and he was, parked on the high waters because he couldn't come closer to the dock. So the Coast Guard was to communicate with this vessel and the dock on the land. Like I said, I'm not 100% sure. That's how the Coast Guard originate first. Then what you're saying, the Coast Guard has totally right now, totally different jurisdiction or duty or whatever, not the one the original which I mentioned, as the bringing the papers from the vessel who is parked outside the at the sea in the close proximity to the dock, and that was the origination of the Coast Guard. But like I said, I am not 100% sure because I don't have my notes in front of me.
Well, this is California Fred again. You're referring to David Wynn Miller.
Yes.
Well, David Wynn Miller, he accomplished very great things. He got President Clinton to apologize to the Hawaiian Islands for stealing their island. He took the language of the mortgages and proved they were fraudulent and got the people to carte blanche, get a settlement from the banks and eliminate the mortgages, period. There's a video about it on YouTube. And he calls himself the Postmaster General.
Yes, yes.
And he calls himself the Supreme Judge of the Court.
Yes.
The United Nations has agreed that anywhere this man goes, he is in court 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
Yeah, I listen to his tapes, but, you know, my memory doesn't serve me as well because I am, you know, I'm interested in so many things. I'm playing so many strings. But, you know, I don't reject him totally because this guy, what he speaks, everything makes sense. But because of lack of knowledge on our part, and sometimes we try to acquire the knowledge when the later years when our brain does not accept us as it's not a sponge anymore. It's kind of, you know, it's harder. But you're pretty familiar with him. I'm pretty familiar with him. And, you know, what I brought up, this is not like I just know what he said. And, you know, I try to, you know, implement if it fits to the you know, the way of thinking, to the my philosophy, or because you know what, that's sometimes you find something somewhere, one, two words, or you know, the like in the if that's true, or the Coast Guard originated this way, so right now they're totally different ballgame.
Okay, back to David Wynn Miller. What David Wynn Miller's most important discovery was is that in a courtroom, they take the article out of the prepositional phrase, and it takes words that are commonly nouns and turns them into verbs. And he used the complaint that he does not understand the language because his English dictionary says this word is a noun and you're using it as a verb, and it's convoluted. And apparently, that type of speech or written language is a copywritten language, and the Bar Association and their bar members are the only ones allowed to use it. And he took that and he rendered all law useless and worthless and fraud on its face because of the wordage.
Exactly. He moved the words forward and back, and that totally, according to the syntax, they mean totally different what they originally meant.
Exactly. Well, we've been bamboozled by the lawyers.
Yes.
So it is time to call all lawyers, all bar members, that they are practicing law with a fraudulent document.
Exactly.
Because there is no requirement to practice law in America, period. There's no license you can get. It's a fraud, a scam. These people need to be rooted up, thrown out of office, wherever they are.
And now a little bit, you know, let's make the joke of it, you know, practice, you know, how long are they going to practice? My question is, are they going to do for real one day or not? Did you get it, Fred?
Yeah, I got it.
Because they practice and practice and practice and practice and never do it for real.
Well, it's like the American Medical Association.
That's it.
I mean, you know, you have all this, all these students walking out of class, over 17 students that got gunned down by an AR. The doctors are killing hundreds of thousands of people every year by giving
200,000
by giving them wrong medication, over-medicating them, under-medicating them, chopping off the wrong foot, whatever else they do.
Because they're practicing.
Yeah, and that's without talking about the vaccines that are causing all kinds of problems. But Trump, in his last campaign speech, said he was going to look into that. So as far as courtroom observers go, I think that's a good point to bring up, is Trump is on it, and I think he's going to do it. I yield.
Well, Fred, if I may, if nobody there... I analyze every person or all the events first under the economical under market economy. For example, President Trump, from September to February, during his first year, the federal debt rose by $2 trillion. So he is on the pace, if he's going to be 8 years, so the net national debt is going to be $16 trillion up when he took the presidency. But since the President Reagan, every president who was 8 years in office, he doubled the deficit. So he doesn't do the good job economically. Next thing, this is also an economic debt of the people, sovereign debt, which is the government debt, then is the debt of the people in the form of the credit cards, mortgages, and student loans, is I think 14 trillion on the 21 trillion the sovereign debt, and the Social Security and Medicaid obligation brings us to the $67 trillion, and this is unbearable. And his foreign policy sucks. He wants more war. He wants more war with Iran. Although he is, seems to me like he likes to make the peace with Russia, but everybody else doesn't want the peace. Everybody likes to war. So, you know, he does good things, he does, you know, bad things. He is educated in the real estate, but I don't think he's educated in any other area as I want to him to be. And his cabinet is the military man, and Goldman Sachs. So you know what? That is not the people. First, when he announced his cabinet, I was very disappointed. But when he was elected, there was one of my happiest day in my life, because I basically does not want Hillary Clinton in. But I didn't vote for him. I didn't vote for Hillary. But I'm rooting for him. And hopefully, from the economical standard, I don't think he did anything which benefits the people. And that's the bottom line, what I want to say today.
Okay, can I have a shot at it now?
Hello? Oh.
Yeah, well, I got to answer this. This guy left himself wide open. It's like picking cherries. Yeah, first off, the Federal Reserve, when it was first created with Franklin, Wilson, did you know that the money that the United States government was going to put up, the government did, but the matching money that the foreign bankers were supposed to put up, they did not put up. So, in the interest calculation, you have to claw back a whole lot of money. Now, not only that, but just think about the national debt. How much money was in lend-lease given to Russia, given to England, given to South America? How about rebuilding Japan? How many of these countries have paid America back the money they owe? Think about that for a minute.
Fred, more money. You think you got me, Fred?
Wait a minute.
Listen.
I'm not done. I'm just getting warmed up because you're talking.
Oh, I am too, but I don't think, you know, the other people might like to speak. Listen, more money is more inflation. Price is going up.
It's all the power of the printing press. Let the printing presses roll. Did you know that Afghanistan has its own printing press, and so does Iraq, and so does Iran? Yeah.
When
they pump out oil, they print their own money. They've never audited the Federal Reserve. Not only that, the Pentagon has a $7 trillion deficit. Trillion.
Fred.
And they're sitting there worried about what we owe. Look, we don't owe these assholes, pardon my French, we don't owe the Federal Reserve one nothing. What we ought to do is just burn down the building and start printing our own money and let the chips fall where they will. I yield.
Hello?
The money does not benefit the people. There is lots of money in the vaults, but they not benefit the people, and that's my point. The banks park the money in the excess of reserve, in the Federal Reserve system. They, by law, must have 10% of the assets. They put it $2 trillion more. The more money is in the, tax havens, they not used. There is more money only bring the more price is going to go up. Anyone today in America has, no one in America has today problem to buy anything. They only have the problem because they don't have the money. And the money is so much in the hands of the banksters, corporations, and not share with the people. But
hello?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yes, first of all, economics. All righty? And I'll never forget this course I took when I was a senior in high school back in the 70s. All righty? And minimum wage was $1.74. Minimum wage was about $1.25 or $1.10, $1.25. The question we had as far as economics, all righty, and the number one thing people do not do, when we have a deficit, where is the money? All righty? Number one, the economics for, in 1974, the minimum wage was $1.25. All righty? For every year you work, it's supposed to be going up 75 cents to a dollar. And the question was, and I will never forget these questions, how many years, what was the retirement age? So in 1974, I think the retirement age was 55 years of age. How many years before you reach 55? It was 37 years. What year would you be 55 to retire? It was by 2010. What was the minimum wage supposed to be by 2010? Minimum wage in 2010 was supposed to be $38. You had a dollar per year. Why now? Let's see, number another thing. They brought all of our income back down to 1983. It's impossible. This is 2018 to go back to 1983 as far as income. You cannot survive. You've got people that are making millions and people that are not even making $25,000. It's impossible to live.
That's
everybody,
exactly what I'm saying.
Okay.
Our system does not benefit.
Okay, wait, let me finish. Let me finish, please. Let me finish. And so the next question, any state, when we got tolls, when we've got Lotto, when we've got all this excess money, the question is, where is the money? So number one, and you know what? The only good thing Crazy Trump did bring out, everybody's thinking. Put on your thinking cap. So how do we have a deficit when all of our politicians all become millionaires and billionaires, and they only make not even $200,000? Something's wrong with the picture. People need to be asking questions. And if everybody stayed on the same page to ask the same questions, just like these young kids with these guns and all this other stuff, you know what? You can't fool people anymore. You know? This mess didn't happen because of when Trump just came in. You know what? He gave people food for thought. And this has been going on for the past 30-somewhat years. But Hillary and all the rest of them, all these attorneys, who are the debt collectors? The debt collectors are the attorneys, you know? We were born at night. We wasn't born last night. How on earth do they sit there and steal people's property when we didn't even sign it? There is no contract. There is no due process. And the most powerful thing we learned, and as I said, they want to make T-shirts upon this. Do no harm. And so now think, how are people harming us? Do no harm. If they put these kids in contaminated, infested rat buildings and the board signs off and people are getting sick and the buildings, you know, all kinds of diseases and stuff is festering it, did they do harm? Absolutely. That's a federal crime. So, you know, we got to put everybody's thinking caps on. And another thing, too, if we know what the formula is, don't you think our politicians know? And when, as it was last week, when it was that bad snowstorm, and we asked about the executive order for December 21st, 2017, where Trump put into order, they all knew about this. And I said, well, everybody get the names of the Congress people, Congress, state rep, whomever you speak to, Washington was open, get their names and the titles. They know about this, so why aren't they doing anything about it? You know, and this is where we need to apply the pressure, you know, because now they're trying to, oh, we're concerned. How come all these big corporations could come in, take, steal people's property, and the city and towns are giving them a 20-year tax exempt? Well, give the people, if you got that kind of money to exempt the people, you give it to the small business people and let the elderly people live tax-free. I mean, the most logical thing, how is there a deficit when people, certain ones are making hundreds of millions or trillions of dollars and the other ones don't have? These are the questions people need to put up your light, you know, put up the switch and start thinking. And the ones that are represented, they ask for these jobs. Do no harm. You signed off on this. You are responsible. A lot of them, it's fraud, it's corruption, and what's going on? You know, but that's just my own personal opinion. But it gave us a lot of food for thought. You know, yes. Where is the deficit when every person is allowed X amount of money? I didn't realize Hillary Clinton was the one who sat there and did the privatize of the jails. And they paid $500,000 to incarcerate each person. There are more mental illness people that are incarcerated mental illness is a sickness, it's not a crime. But now it is a big crime now because of that opioid, and all these people are dying in all classes of people all over it. But it wasn't a problem when they were giving it to the other communities, the crack and heroin and all this other stuff. But now it's out of control. You know, but as I said, we're all God's children. Treat people with respect. No one, no one should be homeless without a roof over their head, you know. And it's just like the ones that are making these laws and they're turning their cheek. But it's just like the pressure, put it back to where it belongs. And that's all I basically have to say. But
that's
minimum wage today and 2018 is supposed to be $48. That's what we... Yeah.
Okay, I want to make one little point here. I want to slip this in, and I want you to really understand what I'm telling you.
Okay.
What you're saying is right on, and because you're able to get your message out, there is right now a big group of people, big companies, that are trying to crush freedom of speech.
Trying to what?
Crush freedom of speech. They're trying to censor the internet. They're trying to close down sites. They're putting people out of business right and left.
Yes.
Now, because of that, I tried to bring this up Monday and tell John about it. QAnon has said, you know, the Internet Bill of Rights. We need to establish an Internet Bill of Rights. Now, Q today mentioned the fact that Zuckerberg, you know, that Twitter and also YouTube are going to be taken down. A lot of their money was seeded by the CIA, and it's United States taxpayer money that funded them to begin with. So, by God, they are answerable to the United States and the laws of the U.S. No getting around that one. I don't care what Obama gave to anybody. It's not his to give. It's like when the Clintons decided they were going to steal all the White House silver, they pretty soon found out it belonged to the people and not the Presidente, didn't they? Clawed all that back right out of his house. Big scandal and embarrassment, remember?
Yep.
The same thing with the Internet. Obama can't give away something he doesn't personally own. Just like he can't sign a treaty with the United Nations and put that on the whole United States people, because the Congress makes the treaties, not the president. So anyway, a lot of this stuff is coming out because of freedom of speech. So we need to get involved with this Internet Bill of Rights and not let these people squash us, because the internet is worldwide and America can lead it and make it international. If the countries don't want to respect freedom of religion and freedom of speech, they don't get internet. You know what that would do to their sales, their marketing?
It would crush it.
It'd kill it. So we have the back door. We have the strength. All we need is unity and keep the message going. Do you understand what I mean, people?
Absolutely.
This is along
yes.
the lines of what John is trying to say. What John's trying to do right now is right spot on. He's trying to get people to get out there and find out about the committee man service and get people to walk papers for these elected officials and require them to know the Constitution and let them know that the committee men can recall them if they do something that's outside their oath of office. It's like the watchdog. It's like who's watching the watchdog. Right now we've got these people that are all like Jerry Brown. He's all puffed up and full of power. What does he do? He passes a law that AIDS victims can now give blood, and it doesn't matter that they have AIDS and they're giving people AIDS.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Well, the Bible tells us not to take blood. We're not to...
Absolutely.
We're not supposed to.
Absolutely. We got a team of doctors coming up from Inglewood Hospital because we don't take blood.
Good for you. Good.
You're accountable for your blood is what the Bible says.
We're to keep our race pure.
We take blood plasma as a Jehovah's Witness, and, you know, it was the Jehovah's Witnesses never took blood. And they would arrest people and all that, and all of a sudden, when the AIDS came out, now they are all like, well, what are the witnesses doing? So, you know, there's different hospitals, committees, but Englewood Hospital in New Jersey, they specialize. It's a phenomenal hospital. They have the team of doctors, and as a matter of fact, they're having a big conference up our way in April. They do it once a year. Last year, I think, was in Long Island. And they tell you all about
point,
it, any questions.
My point, Crystal, is that Jerry Brown signed this into law. That's all I was trying to say. Now you can talk about blood all you want. I'm going to come on and take off now. Bye.
Yeah.
Okay. This is Watchdog here. If I could say something, Crystal, you're done. I don't want to cut in.
Yes,
you.
I am. Go ahead.
Okay. Fred, California Fred, you don't have to answer to this, but there was a – when you were speaking, I only caught about three quarters of what you spoke of tonight. And there's something matter with your phone, at least on my end. I can't hear you very well. So I don't know if you're not speaking into the microphone or if you're just volume is turned down really low. But when you talk, you have so many good items to talk about. That
yeah.
would be imperative if you could turn it up. I don't know if anybody else has that problem. But anyways, going back to the money thing, if all the nations in the world are in debt, where did all the money go? That's a question mark. Okay, now I didn't catch the very first part of the program this evening, only bits and pieces of it. And I think, is it Terry that's got a case going on? You were talking about some case that somebody's getting sued. I'm not sure who it was. Is that what it was, credit card case? Okay, yeah, I think that's what it was. That's your case? Okay, I don't know. Are you going to court? Are you going into discovery? Or what is the situation? Real quick.
I filed a counter-complaint, and I'm waiting for them to respond. I don't have a court date, and I don't have a response, and that's how it stands right now.
Okay. Well, here are 10 questions that you may want to ask them, okay? And this is not only in your case, but this will work in foreclosures or anybody that deals with banks or credit cards. Okay, number one, am I indebted to the bank right now? Please answer yes or no. Now, if it's a credit card, you'd say, am I indebted to the credit card company right now? Please answer yes or no. Okay. Number two, please confirm that the bank actually possessed the money they claim to have lent me prior to my loan being granted. In other words, did the bank physically have the money they lent me prior to the money appearing in my account? Okay, the third thing would be, would the bank be prepared to amend the credit agreement as follows? We, the bank, did, in fact, possess the money we loaned you prior to the loan being approved. Number four, was the loan funded by assets belonging to the bank at the time the loan was granted? Either way, please describe in detail the accounting process used to create my loan. Number five, did the bank record my promissory note / negotiable instrument as an asset on the books? If yes, how was my instrument used to create my loan? And where is my valuable promissory note negotiable instrument right now? Number six, does the bank participate in securitization scheme whereby debts and promissory notes are bundled and then sold on the third parties via special purpose vehicles, entities, or alike processes? Number seven, with reference to point number six, has my loan securitized? If so, please send me all the details regarding its securitization. Number eight, does the bank have a legal right to collect money it claims I owe? Question mark. If so, then where does the legal right come from, assuming the loan has been securitized? Number 9. Has my loan with the bank been settled by a special purpose vehicle, comma, insurance policy, comma, or by any other party? Number 10. Regarding the security given to the bank by me, has the security been sold on, or given as security, surety to another party? And those are 10 pretty hot questions to be asking anybody that claims that you owe them money, whether
well,
it be a credit card or...
About that. I said the first question I would ask the bank is, did the bank lend any of its own money? And they can't say yes, otherwise they're in violation of Federal Reserve policies.
Right, right. So this is kind of like a discovery type of investigation, or if you got into court, you could put them on the stand and ask them, their lawyer or whoever, the bank president or the loan company people, ask them these 10 questions, and they will bite their own face off trying to answer them.
Oh, I know. They're going to paint themselves into a corner, no doubt about it. Because here's the thing about it, too, is I'm going to ask the representative for the credit card company, are you planning on calling any witnesses? What am I supposed to do, cross-examine a piece of paper? If they even have a piece of paper.
Right.
And if he said no, well, that's okay. I'll just subpoena the president of the bank and the president of the collection agency.
Right.
Maybe they can answer my question.
And do you have a copy of, I'm sorry, go ahead.
When I did mine also back in 2014, I said I would like to speak to Mr. GE Federal Credit Union. And also, when I was sitting there asking about Mr. GE Federal Credit Union, I realized, and we were talking, I forgot who, they said, the attorneys is the third party. So they can't even speak in behalf. And then I asked for a sworn notarized affidavit and the proof that I had taken a loan out with them. And I asked for the contract.
Right. And that contract, they have to possess that contract with your blue ink signature on it. And it has to be your signature. And when they say, this is your signature, and then you tell them, no, that is not my signature. And they'll say, yes, it is. We'll even get a signature, an analyst, to show that that's your signature. Well, the definition of a signature is not your name. Your signature is maybe that's your name on the paper, but there has to be a meeting of the minds. And they have to explain to you before they sign it, or before you sign it, all the terms and the conditions, and that you went into it with full knowledge. And if there was any discrepancy in the knowledge that you had going into that, then that's not your signature. Because that signature has to be done with your approval.
Okay, great. And also, like with the MERS, when they changed their names, I never took a loan out with them, right? And one thing I picked out, because I used to do this work, and my husband was in banking. So there's certain things I picked right out that I said, this is not even, I said, first of all, show me the contract. When did I sign? Whenever they change your name on a mortgage or whatever, you know, and that's the MERS, that's that fraudulent scam, behind your name, when they got you on this document, there's never a date. Make sure.
Right.
There's never a date on it.
And there's never a signature either. There has to be a live human being signature on there. If any paper that your name is on, somebody else has to have their live blue ink signature alongside of it. Otherwise, it's an unconscionable contract.
Right, and it's in black. But what they did, they scanned my signature off another piece of paper, but there is no date behind it.
That's illegal.
And I said, can I see the original? There is no original, you know? And every time I go back, there's somebody different, or the people are no longer there. Okay.
Sure.
That's another thing to look out for. Anything has a signature. There's not a date behind it. You know it's a scam.
Okay. Well, that's all I wanted to say.
A watchdog, Captain John, yes. a month or two ago, he brought up this case, which he called Credit River case. And
okay.
I went on internet and I copy, and there was the, Terry should know this guy, Jerome Daly. He was the lawyer in Minnesota. So he brought up
right.
the bank.
We were discussing that case on the Committee of Safety in which Captain John erroneously claimed that that was a federal case. In fact, since when are foreclosures heard in federal court? It was a local justice of the peace case is what it was about.
Yeah, I understand, but it would be said that the bank, the most important thing was the banker said in those in the court. Banker said there was no money loan for the mortgage. Bank create an entry on their books. That's it. That is
I agree
most
with you,
thing.
But the thing about it is you can't use that. Well, I mean, you can use anything you want in court, but whether or not it'll be accepted, it's not, for example, you know, like what Captain John seemed to be saying, is that you can go down to the law library and it's in the law book. It's not. I agree with the judge in that case 1,000%, but, you know, that and $15, you know, will get you through the Lincoln Tunnel. So, you know, I don't know really. Go ahead.
I'm not saying you should use this case, but only to understand what the banker said, and that verify what we already all know, you, me, and many, many others, Crystal, there is no money involved. There is bank create the entry. And the judge says, oh, seems to me like this is the fraud. Yes, judge, as the human being, he right away said it what it is. And doesn't matter if this case was where, but somebody said, the honest banker said how the bank operates, and that's the only thing is. That's what I want to say.
So that was in the case already decided, so you could take out that portion of the case and use that case reference number to substantiate that the banker said that.
I'm using it for my own education, and that's if somebody ever say, oh, prove it, then I say, oh, that you have it. But keep in mind, the judge was found dead 6 months later.
Oh.
No.
Keep in mind that Jerome Daly, he died a poor man. He was attorney. He defends lots of court, income tax cases. They rolled him down. He died probably 3-4 years ago in California of a very poor man.
Wow. Now, what was that case? What was that case, that Minnesota case you're talking about? I didn't catch
it. You can search, you can write Credit River case. This is First National Bank of Montgomery versus Jerome Daly, December 9, 1968.
Montgomery, okay.
First Bank of Montgomery versus Jerome Daly. December 9, 1968, and this you can Google it or you know use any search engine. You can write if you cannot find it under that you can put the Credit River case.
Creditor Realtor case.
Credit River.
Oh, Credit River. Okay.
Yeah.
Got it. Thank you so much. Yeah.
And that's
very
what
good.
Crystal saying, that's what you say, that's what Terry's saying. Some banker said, look, we don't loan anything. We only put an entry.
Mm-hmm.
I remember things what most people don't remember. There was, I think, 2009 when the then President Obama was speaking, I think, in the George Washington University. He said something very important. He said, like, everybody asked for bailout. Where is my bailout? I'm receiving so many letters. So that's what Obama said. It's better if the government give $1 to the bank. Bank can loan you $9. And I was on news whole day switching the channel. Nobody brought this up. Because questions supposed to be asked, okay, Mr. Obama, thank you. You give one to the bank, but where the bank got $9 to loan?
Fractional reserve.
They created money out of the nothing.
Mm-hmm.
That created money out of nothing. And there is verification of what Jerome Daly and many, and but no establishment ever wants you to know. If government, first of all, government doesn't have the money either because he's got the money from the federal system. And then they claim that they have it. They give to any bank, and bank give you $9 loan. From where the $9 came when they only received one. And this is the bottom of the American system. And one more thing. Look, those economies. This economy saying that, oh, American system is, let's make $2 inflation. What is the $2 inflation? They're stealing the $2 of 100. And this is the honest law in America. And when the inflation go above 2%, oh, this is bad for the economy. You remember the Janet Yellen? I mean, what her name was? Federal Reserve System chief. She said, "We pushing so we can have a 2% inflation." I said, "Wait a minute! You're stealing $2 from the 100 for everybody, and you're telling me this is the honest American system?"
But the another big question everybody's forgetting. Look at the money that these lying politicians are stealing for their lawsuits, for their little sexual harassment, for their big trips and all that, you know?
Salaries and raises.
Salaries, their family salaries, their exemptions, their investments. You know what? We were born at night. We wasn't born last night. So people got to start thinking outside the box.
Well, we have to take care of our servants.
Exactly.
We have to take care of our servants.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, I said enough. One thing, as I said, little Donald's off the hook, but you know what? He gave a lot of food for thought because this stuff didn't start with him a year ago. Where has all the money gone? You know,
it's
bridges
been going
are falling
for
down.
Years.
All the stuff. Exactly. The education and stuff like that. This is bull crap. Everybody needs to be audited and be accountable. Start explaining where the money's going. We don't want to hear no more deficit. Why are we in a deficit? All the people that have been in office and signed off on this, do no harm. You did plenty of harm. And we should remember, they want to make up slogans and the T-shirts. Do no harm. Where is the money? Let them all be accountable. You know?
Where did it go?
Money is created,
I mean, really, so let's stay focused. Where
debt.
Is the money?
Money is created by issuing the loan.
The ones who keep on saying there's a deficit, you were there when these loans, you signed off on this. Where is the money? Do no harm. Why are we in a deficit? We didn't have no say-so where the money went.
Nope.
They owe me for an income tax of 2008. They told me from the IRS. She goes, "Well, you're not going to get the money back." So I got to appeal that. You know, this is so absurd. And so I said, "Well, where is the money going then? If I don't get my money."
And if you win a lawsuit against the government, you'll never get your money because they don't have the money to pay you. You might win the case, but you'll never get paid.
Right.
You know, that's another thing, topic. The Michigan militia is ready to go to civil war, they said. So be prepared.
I'm sorry, I didn't get your name. What's your name, the guy that's talking now?
Me? This is
Is there any way, my name is Deborah. Is there any way that you could email me those questions?
I sure can. I'll be more than glad to.
Excellent.
Okay.
Do you need my email address?
I'll tell you what. Why don't you send me yours? Send me a blank one. And just put NLA in the subject line. And my email is 77watchdog Debra@gmail.com.
Wait a minute, because I need those questions too.
Okay.
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 Seven.
What is it?
Seven.
2 7s.
Don't write it out. Don't write it out. It's just like the number 7. 2 7s.
Mm-hmm.
Watchdog@gmail.com.
Okay. Thank you so much. And for California Fred, I have a question. What was the guy's name that gave the okay for AIDS patients to give blood?
Governor Brown. Jerry Brown.
Oh, that
Governor
was Jerry Brown.
Brown. California. Jerry Brown.
I can't
California.
Believe that. I can't believe that.
I believe it.
I can't believe it was Governor Brown. Okay. Why do you believe
Let him be the first one to take you, then.
Why do I believe it? I used to live in California, and he's kind of off the wall in a lot of areas, turning the water off on the farmers and different things like that.
Okay.
I don't live there. I don't live there now, thank God.
Yeah, you're a lucky man.
But I feel sorry for those that do. You're welcome. Yeah, send me an email. Anybody who wants that, send me an email. Just put NLA, and you can just put NLA questions on there, and I'll be more than glad to send these to you. Not a problem.
NLA
I'll have them. I could do it tonight.
Okay.
Thank you so much. This was such a great meeting. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you. This is what we need to get all this information out to people in whatever areas. And I run across a lot of things that I'm not involved in, and I just want to spread the word. So,
I want to say one more thing. This is California Fred.
Yes, California Fred.
This is a personal favor. I want all of you guys to look up 5G and find out how they're going to weaponize the internet and weaponize frequencies. And I want you to also find out about the Internet Bill of Rights. It is so important that we don't allow these scoundrels to use the Internet of Things to kill us in our own homes and steal our information and use it against us.
Right.
I mean, we're looking at cars today that can be hijacked by somebody hacking a computer with it.
Right.
It can be.
Well, wait. Brett, wait until they get all these autonomous cars on the road and some kid is mad at his school teacher and he gets up before his father. He gets up before his father in the morning and he programs his dad's car to drive full bore into the school and kill everybody.
The whole parking lot could be like a bunch of lady drivers on Dollar Day. Start them all up and crash into everything.
I know, on their way to bingo, right?
There is a...
They could do that with cars.
And then when you get them on the road and they got these semis that are running by themselves, and the semis are going to be running people over, and we're running into these cars.
They just had that, didn't they?
Well, one of the cars just ran over a lady in Arizona. His Uber driver had a automated car.
Oh, my God. Yeah,
killed the lady.
I heard that.
Oh, the lady died? Oh, my God.
Yep. They killed her.
Oh.
Awful.
Oh my God.
What are these people thinking? What are these people thinking?
CERN? How about CERN? Because the internet was birthed from CERN, and it goes, it's such a big and deep rabbit hole. It's just sometimes you don't know that, you know, it's a fiction within a fiction, really.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what Congress fool signed up on that?
I love that what Crystal said, that she said, do no harm. It can't get no simpler than that. Do no harm.
Right.
Do no harm. Everything we do, it's, you know, we got to get the T-shirts. Do no harm.
And carry the Constitution in our pockets.
Right.
So
exactly.
If we forget something, we just pull it right out.
Do no harm. And who's signing off on this? You know?
Right.
Because
I love when John said that. That was very, very good.